Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Colton Molesky, here with Tom Schreier, and we have had an eventful day, haven't we, Tom?
Yeah, it's been quite the ride.
He's tired, folks. He's tired.
I am literally exhausted. This is for some reason it was a late night last night, and 9 o'clock for the average person isn't too bad, but I woke up and I was like, we got 9-1 straight up interviews. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of chaos. And given how many media members there are now for media day for the Minnesota Timberwolves, it was literally, and I have multiple people who will qualify this, it was literally 105 in the media room, which just made a big old man like me sweat like no man should sweat when sitting in place.
Well, I want to get to media day right away, and I apologize that you had to endure that. You're a good soul.
It was like being in it was like a sauna, except all body heat. It was terrible.
There's a mental image for the listener.
Yeah, I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm cranky. No, I'm
kidding. So, first of all, we wanted to hit a little bit on the Carmelo Anthony expanding his list. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN now. Gotta get used to saying that, is announced that Carmelo Anthony has expanded the list of teams that he's willing to get traded to, because obviously has the no trade clause in his contract. He's let the Knicks know that one of the teams he's willing to go to is the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm tripping now. Does this surprise you, or was this always in the cards that he was going to meet up with his buddy LeBron in Cleveland, or at least try to meet up with him?
So not yesterday. When did we record? I'm getting my days mixed up. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. That's good. Kind of. But yesterday, I came on this podcast and said the most intriguing storyline was the Cleveland Cavaliers and kind of what they do in this kind of LeBron limbo year. I don't know what's going on here, because it's a little like Kevin Love, where you know Kevin Love would kind of rather be somewhere else, but he was going to give it a go, and for obvious reasons, it worked out for him. You know, you go where you're going to win. You look at, to tie the two themes together, as the brilliant basketball mind I am, you know, it's like Shabazz Muhammad, who has Magic Johnson courting him, and he's, you know, the UCLA product, I believe from Vegas, but that would be Laker, you know, Laker country. And,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, him saying that, you know, this felt like home here in Minnesota, that he wanted to be with Tibbs again, wanted to grind it out, thought it was an opportunity to win. I think it's a little like that. We know Kevin Love probably would be somewhere else other than Cleveland, if not for LeBron James and the chance to play with him and try to win a championship. And this seems a little bit like that. I should call my buddy Chris from Cleveland, because I'm sure he would have a hot take on this, or just a reasonable Clevelander take on it. And, but, you know, I just wonder if you have mixed feelings. Like, I guess that would give you a better chance to kind of go all in. The defense would suffer. It is an expanded list, so you kind of wonder who else is on it. But if he goes to Cleveland, I mean, I guess it's a chance to kind of go all in again, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good, you know, for the long term, right?
I think if he went to Cleveland, it would definitely be a short-term deal. I don't think he'd be in Cleveland for very long. But I would like the move. The only problem I see is that if he does go to Cleveland, you absolutely have to offload Tristan Thompson somewhere else, because he's not going to get any playing time if you have Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose, probably
that's right, Derrick Rose.
Somehow. Exactly. Derrick Rose is still on this team. I mean, this team is moving more and more offensive-minded, and they will continue to do that if Carmelo Anthony joins the team. You can't be paying Tristan Thompson the salary that he's getting just to sit on the bench and play, what, 15, 16 minutes a game? I mean, that would be an atrocious and almost unforgivable waste of money.
Isn't that a weird – it's a weird deal because, like, you know, I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of a Cleveland fan. And I'm like, in some ways, Carmelo opens up that kind of quote-unquote sense of wonder that what could this team be with Carmelo, especially that given it's Cleveland, they may allow Hoodie Mello. That's a rare Cleveland attribute.
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about your state. I understand if you need to calm down a little bit, just take a sip of beer here. It is Friday night. Cole Molesky, college student, taking time out of his Friday night to deliver a lockdown podcast for the people. Also one that I wanted to do at 7 so he could get out and hit the bars, the sweet, sweet bars of Mankato. And unfortunately, my slow butt, we end up at 8. But anyways, the point is, may allow Hoodie Mello in Cleveland. It's this rare, rare exception to the rules. But, you know, it also you kind of wonder, like, what could they actually get for Tristan Thompson right now? Most people have their team set. I mean, what is reasonable? You can either name players or just kind of, what do you think is a reasonable return? Could they get a good return for him right now?
I think you could get a pretty solid return for him if you find the right team. I think the Raptors would pay for him just because Valanciunas hasn't had a couple good seasons. I think that the Nuggets would maybe trade for him just because they're doing the whole thing of going big when all the teams in the West are going smaller.
Right.
I was just thinking too, because when I'm in my free time, this is all I do is think about basketball questions and what's going on in the NBA.
We all appreciate it.
How weird is it to just think of the Cleveland franchise just over the last few years? They have a massive transition of getting LeBron James, and not even just for the fans, but I don't think we've ever seen so much change to one organization over such a short period of time. They get LeBron James after bottoming out for years and years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they go big. They get Mozgov. They pay Tristan Thompson is on the roster. Matthew Dellavedova is this defensive point guard that doesn't really shoot the ball well at all. And they're just trying to go super defensive against the Golden State Warriors. Doesn't work out because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love get injured. And that was another big move, was Kyrie or Andrew Wiggins for Love. And then after that season, they go super offensive and just kind of throw away the old playbook, try and go uber offensive on the Warriors to beat them that way. And then they win the championship. Then after that, they clean house a little bit, get rid of some of the players that were on that roster. And now they have a totally different team. They go and lose the championship. Now they've cleaned the house a little bit again and have kind of another new team on their hands to try and make another run at the Warriors. This has got to be the fastest transition in basketball history, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Does it matter? I mean, I kind of wonder. People like – here's the thing. Like, people generally get attached to their teams, and especially like you know, baseball teams over the years get built up, and you know, if you're a diehard Cleveland Indians fan, you get attached to the prospects that end up reaching the majors. And even with football, I feel like you kind of get attached to kind of the guys who stick around for a long time, the key receiver, the quarterback, all that. I mean, in basketball, does that matter? Look, the Wolves, like, you have Towns and Wiggins as the staples, but Tibbs came in here and just tossed a whole bunch of old Bulls on the team and, you know, went and swindled for Butler, pulled a Colt Molesky-esque swindle. Classic Colt Molesky. And, does it matter? It's weird, but think about what this team is, the Cleveland Cavaliers specifically. This team has had 65,000 jerseys, I think, since 2008. I could be wrong, but think of how many jerseys this team has. They continue to switch kind of what they look like and all this. I mean, does it matter in basketball, or is it just like, why not go all out if you might lose LeBron next year?
I agree with that sentiment that you do want to go all in if you might lose LeBron. He still hasn't said anything on his commitment to Cleveland. But at the same time, even in basketball, there's an attachment to championship teams, right? I mean, Boston has had plenty of success, but there is still attachment to the big three in Boston after 2008. And there was a real love in that city for that team that had won the championship. And this is Cleveland. This is the Cavaliers' first championship ever that was brought to them by this team. And already they've kind of seen this team torn apart and rebuilt and redesigned around LeBron and this young head coach. And it's just, it kind of calls into question, too, if you build this whole team up and then rebuild it and then rebuild it again and you can't win a championship still out of it, is there a fatigue from the fans? Is there a little bit of, wow, you just, maybe LeBron is just, there's not enough talent around him in the league that you can put together under one salary to beat the Warriors. And if that's the kind of thinking in Cleveland, then there's no chance that he stays, right? There's no chance that he stays if nobody around him thinks that they can get a team together to beat this Warriors team, at least not in Cleveland.
Yeah, no, and I just think there's part, like, he kind of came and did what, you know, he was supposed to do. You know, again, talking to Chris and, you know, anyone else I know who's even just a Cavaliers fan, you know, most rational people say, look, you know, he broke the curse and you kind of, you got to go easy on your team a little bit if they've won a championship recently. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm kind of reading the tea leaves and I'm like, yeah, you know, you look at what Golden State is, you look at where LeBron is in his career and you just look at what he accomplished just recently. And it just seems like, you know, I'm with you. I just don't know. I think if you're Cleveland, just go all out. You're going to be left with a mess if LeBron leaves anyways. And that seems like the most likely thing going into the season. Maybe we'll look back and say that's foolish. But as of right now, it seems like the most likely thing to happen to him.
You know what it really reminds me of? And this did not happen over as short a period of time as it did in Cleveland. But it really reminds me a lot of the New Orleans Saints. They go and they win a championship, and then they have the whole scandal break afterwards, and then they try and rebuild the defense a little bit, get better defensive coordinators, go on free agency and get guys in the secondary, even though they need to rebuild their front seven. That doesn't work out, so they trade away Jimmy Butler and get Max Unger on the offensive line, even though they're not really a running team, and try to go in a power offense, and that doesn't really work out. And they're just kind of floundering for years in mediocrity. And Sean Payton's kind of riding that Super Bowl ring, right? That's what it makes me think of, is after they get that ring, you kind of put everything into that one ring, and then you're stuck there, and everybody's expecting you to run it back and be a playoff team again, and you're just not really sure what to do after that goal is accomplished. That's kind of where it feels like Cleveland is.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair analogy, and that's, you know, this is kind of common in sports, that you put together – you know, a pretty solid team. And it's just very rare. I think in Minnesota, they try to do this, that they open the window as far as you can. And it's maybe why you get a lot of like playoff teams that just crush you here, you know, but at the same time, it also would give you the opportunities. If you find that championship formula, it's not a one and done, but I feel like, yeah, this is, you know, this is what the team was designed to do. LeBron didn't come here and say, hey, yeah, let's, you know, he didn't do the Miami thing. Not one, not two, not three, right? You know, it was more like, hey, Ohio, I'm coming here. And yeah, I think a lot of people read that story and was like, yeah, he's going to be in Ohio for a while. This is his home. But he owns a house in L.A., you know? I mean, let's be real. And like, his job was just to win one, to break the curse, right? So I don't know. I think that's a fair analogy. And I think it's something we see in sports a lot. And frankly, I mean, what other teams, just to move on to from Cleveland real quick, do you think are on that list? I mean, do you see a Portland? He's already said he'd go to Houston, right? What other teams, you know, do you think are on that list?
Just thinking about good fits, not necessarily cap space at the moment. I do like Portland just because that trio of Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Carmelo Anthony does sound pretty intimidating, and they do need a third guy. They've proven over the years that they do need a third guy if they're going to do anything in the playoffs. Miami would be a landing spot. I actually would really like to see him on the Raptors as well. It would be an interesting one to pair with DeRozan and Lowry. give them a little veteran leadership. Just even I know Kyle Lowry's a 32-year-old, but it's just one of those teams where they do so well in the regular season, you can almost bank on them getting 50 wins. And then in the playoffs, they just never really do anything season after season. So that's a team I would like to see have kind of a vet to help them maybe navigate the regular season in a better way to prepare for the playoffs. Phoenix would be another one that
all those young guys, right? Right.
Around like Booker and Josh Jackson and Marquise Chris, having somebody, Dragan Bender, having somebody who would kind of help guide them through the regular season. And I don't know if they make the playoffs with Carmelo Anthony, but that's still a really fun team and a really good team to look out for.
Yeah. Do we want to move on to Media Day a little more Wolves Minnesota centric here?
Yeah, we should. It's hard. It's easy to get caught up in the storyline of Cleveland because there's so many of them over the summer. But let's move on to Media Day.
This literally broke. We were recording this at 8:30 on Friday, and this broke probably at 8:15 on Twitter. So, you know, we're not expecting that, but we felt we had to address it.
Absolutely. But you're right. Let's move on. Media Day, the Timberwolves, right before they're heading out to San Diego for camp. What did you think? What are your overall reactions? You were actually there. I was paying close attention on Twitter and on various websites for the stories and the highlights, but you were actually there. What was the vibe? What was the feeling in the building other than high?
it was rather warm. This is what happens when, you know, all of a sudden everyone's taking a little interest in you. But by the way, at the Mayo Clinic Center, one of the best facilities in basketball, Jimmy Butler weirdly asked about it, and he was kind of like how it compared to Chicago, and he was like he kind of didn't know how to answer it.
That's a weird question.
Which I don't blame him. You know, I did write up an immediate takeaways from Minnesota Timberwolves Media Day. This is on zonecoverage.com. And it wasn't anything groundbreaking. I would say what's most surprising was Aaron Brooks, who was signed. You wrote up the thing for Zone Coverage. He was signed, yesterday, late night? Is that right?
It was one of those late night last night, but the paperwork might have been just finalized this morning, one of those type of things. But it was very, very recently.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Colton Leslie special, just trying to sneak in a late move late at night, kind of that late wager.
Sliding in those DMs.
Yes. Good grief. I was realizing as I was saying this, I was like, this is coming out wrong and I need to move on. But anyways, Aaron Brooks really has a great personality. I mean, it's funny. He's, you know, 32. I think this is probably his age 33 season. And he admitted he had two bad years, had played for Tibbs briefly, and kind of, I think, that relationship led to this signing. I like it. The point guard, the veteran point guard I think they need. And Tyus Jones even was kind of, you know, he's like, dude, I'm just going to do what I've got to do. I don't think he felt super threatened. But, you know, he's a guy you want on your bench and in your locker room. I can confidently say that after seeing this. Shabazz Muhammad, I thought was super interesting. Felt comfortable in Minnesota, even with Magic Johnson Lakers courting him.
That was an interesting comment. Not to interrupt you, but that was an interesting comment he made too. That he came back to Minnesota. He made it sound like it was primarily because he wanted to win, which I thought was an interesting sentiment about where the league thinks the Lakers are right now.
You're right. Especially when, well, here's the thing. I think the bigger takeaway is that he's 24 and he's going to take a bet on himself. If you're Colt Molesky. You're what, 22? You're not
21.
21. God, what a youngster. What a youngster.
I'm a baby.
Well, a little baby. Wow, I'm surprised they let you in this podcast world, this dark, cold podcast world. But no.
This is all you're doing.
I mean, what do you think about this? 24 years old, Shabazz Muhammad taking a bet on himself. What do you think about that?
You're asking the wrong man about a bet because you know I'm all in on the bet. I'm all in on the wager. Every weekend, Molesky's weekend wagers, I'm all in on the bet. Go ahead, Shabazz. Bet on yourself. I believe in you. And you know what? I'm willing to make some bets on myself too.
I love it. I love it. I know you are. But no, I mean, I think for a player his age and in his situation, it was the right thing to do. I kind of wonder, you know, there's a lot of, we kind of know who Shabazz Muhammad is now. He's capable of scoring. He can be just a straight up dark hole sometimes, often, and especially on a team that has so much talent and is talking about putting the team first. And when you have Jeff Teague talking about Mike Bibby and how Mike Bibby was this selfless player and really put the winning above all else, you know, you go, you need Shabazz because you need the wing. He should be better under Tibbs in the second year. But is it just me, or does it seem like he doesn't really fit kind of the ideology of, you know, this year's Minnesota Timberwolves?
No, I think you're right. I think in a group that seems to be, or at least has proven to be thus far in their careers, as self-aware as this group of Timberwolves are, he lacks that self-awareness, especially on offense, when he's just not feeling it. And I think that's one of the reasons that they were willing to part ways with Zach LaVine, is all these guys are willing to pass it or make plays for the other guy next to him, especially when that guy is hot. And Shabazz has not shown that. He's the guy who really thinks he can shoot his way out of a slump. And when you're on a team with Wiggins and Towns and Teague and Butler and Crawford, all these guys can make shots. And so when you're on a team like that and you're committed to shooting your way out of a slump instead of passing it and trying to get another guy hot, that is a problem. So from him, really, I want to see, especially through camp and the preseason, I want to see his self-awareness grow. I want to see him when he – I don't want to see him when he's making shots, because we know that he can be good for 16, 20 minutes when he's making shots. But when he hits three bricks in a row, I want to see what he does then. Because then if he can pass the ball around, if he can create plays for guys around him, that's when I know that he's really going to add something to the bench.
So I was sitting behind Timmy Fakeless, obviously our Wolves beat writer, and then a handful of guys from Canisupas, and there's a few other people from different sites, but mainly Canisupas was representing there. And we were all discussing things in between kind of the players being shuffled in and out. And what I said, and this became kind of a prevailing theory, as a trendsetter like I am, and just a thought leader in the Minnesota Timberwolves realm.
Of course.
I said, you know, Shabazz Muhammad at the end of the day is a guy that Tibbs just has to manage. You know what he's going to do. I agree that you identified exactly where he can grow. But, you know, how do I put it? Like at the end of the day, it's on Tibbs to be like, yeah, is this Shabazz time or is this not? And if it's not, get him off the court. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You just manage his minutes and manage the situations.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's just going through a few other things. Jamal Crawford is just the man. He is the man. And
he's a class act. Yeah,
I just freaking love Jamal Crawford. But like, I don't know how good he's going to be, but he's hilarious.
The media is never going to turn on them, are they?
Yeah, although, like, I do think, just speaking for me, I do want to be conscious of, like, people are very aware of kind of what he's been like the last couple of years, and that he's like a 37-year-old man who's still playing basketball. But although in very good shape. And what I'm getting to is he's like, yeah, I'm still in the league because my wife told me to give up Capri Sun.
I love that quote
like,
so much.
What?
How much Capri Sun was he drinking before he had to quit is my question.
Like think about these are like little packets. You know what I mean? It's not, you don't drink Capri Sun in like a gallon jug. Like you don't even drink it in like a water bottle.
You know what I pictured when I saw that quote? Is I pictured him on a couch next to Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid has the pitcher of Shirley Temple. And next to him is Jamal Crawford just like emptying these Capri Suns into this IV that's straight into his arm. And they're just looking at each other. We got to stop this, man. There's no way we can stay in the league like this.
Yeah, Embiid looks at him. He's like, man, take care of yourself. No, but...
What are you doing? He's got four straws in his pitcher of Shirley Temple.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, I mean, it's just hilarious. Like, I drank Capri. Look, I love Capri Sun as much as the next guy. I haven't had a Capri Sun.
Oh, you're only human.
Yeah, I know. Right. I haven't had Capri Sun in 20 years. I mean, I think, like, when I turned 8, I was like, yeah, it's time for me to drop this. But...
But, it's time to stop these childish ways.
But anyways, I love how I mean, first of all, comes in, he's like, which seat should I sit in? He's kind of joking with media members. He said, you know, he gets addicted to Whole Foods, which obviously there was one very prominently in downtown Minneapolis, and they're all over here. But he's like, oh, yeah, and there's that one here. And we're all like, Lunds? And he's like, yeah, Lunds is great. And I'm like, yeah, of course Jamal Crawford comes here. And it's not like he's checking out the Stone Arch Ridge. He's like, man, I got to go to Lunds.
I got to hit up Lunds. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, there was that. A couple of weird uniform changes. Nemanja Bjelica drops an 8 off his uniform. I kind of liked 88 because he was unique. I mean, how many players are even in the 80s in basketball?
Maybe he was confusing himself with a wide receiver.
Right. He was like, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's exactly.
I got to figure out what I'm doing with my life. It's time to drop this other 8.
Right. No, I mean, that was interesting. And then Taj Gibson, 67. Like, 67 is what you see from, you know, kind of random pitchers in Major League Baseball, like kind of random hockey players that get a call up. I'm trying to think of where else. I mean, obviously it has a role in football. Every number does. But it's just such, I mean, where, you know, Taj Gibson may come knocking on your door, all right? And he might say, Colton, what am I doing here? Are you pro 67 or anti 67?
You know what? It's a new team with a new logo and all kinds of new jerseys and new swag for the players, all kinds of new haircuts. Go with 67, Taj. Go with 67.
Because he was, I'm looking this up, he was like 32? No, 22. 22. Yeah, I mean, obviously can't use that one. But yeah, that was quite unique. Again, I'm not like, this isn't going to break or break the season, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. Wiggins is the most interesting player, I think. He didn't say much, obviously, with his whole contract situation. It still remains weird to me. I don't think we have to rehash it here because I'm sure you can look back in the podcast list and it's there somewhere. But that was pretty weird situation. He was just kind of like, he was like, yeah, I should probably look it over. Like, Andrew Wiggins is so Andrew Wiggins. Like, he's just like, yeah, you know, I'll get it done when I get it done. And I might just look it over, make sure there's no, like, misspellings or something, which as though there'd be, like, misspellings in this, you know, document. Maybe. God knows. But these are pretty standard contracts. And, like, usually you don't have a misspelling if you have $148 million on the line, especially when it's something that's pretty routine in the NBA.
You hope that the lawyers have been doing this for long enough.
I mean, yeah, I just... You know what? I'll give Wiggins this. He's his own guy, and it's fair. I don't want people to inflate this kind of attitude, which I like, where he lets things roll off his back. He kind of crosses the bridges when he gets there. I'm fine with that. I actually like, you know, I'm fine with him being a quiet guy. I really think he, you know, it's great to have a personality like that on the team. And I don't want that conflated with his lack of focus, which he does need to work on. But I, you know, he handled this really well. He did play kind of coy with the whole contract thing. But when asked about Glenn Taylor, he's like, yeah, I'd like, it was so, again, a very Andrew Wiggins answer. He's like, yeah, I see him all the time. He's great. He's like, yeah, I don't care. He can, you know, I'm trying to find the exact line here. He's like, he's offering all that money. He can do whatever he wants. And I, you know, I think that's the right attitude. He really can make a big deal out of this. There's a lot of people that did. I understand that there's, you know, the optics of it are pretty bad. But, like, I think at the end of the day, again, I've said this 100 times, it's fair for Glenn Taylor to say, look, play defense, you know, now that you know the system, and focus all the time because, you know, you're paid a lot of money. But he has earned it. He's done everything you'd ask of a young player. I really like his attitude and all that. And I just, I thought I got a kick out of him for how quiet he is and how unintentional his humor is. He is really funny as a person.
Yeah, and we know that you weren't in the room because you are scared of the assassin look that Wiggins has embraced with the cornrows.
Right.
And
Tim Fakeless, by the way, tweets out Andrew Wiggins hair watch. What did you describe it as, a fade? The haircut I like, the Wiggins haircut bandwagon of mine.
Oh yeah, the the brush fade on the sides, and then he twist tops kind of the top of the head.
I might just have to have a conversation. Like, this is getting out of hand. I think there's a conversation to be had. But yeah, I mean, the cornrows look good. I describe him as an assassin on the court because he's so quiet and yet literally can score at any point. And I really think as his defense rounds out, now he knows the system. He's, you know, look, Jeff Teague had a great line where he's like, yeah, we're doing a lot of defensive drills, like a lot of defensive drills. And
those only get worse throughout the season, Jeff. Just buckle up.
Right. And Tibbs was straight up and being like, look, our offense is just fine. We just need to play defense. I really do like how honest, aside from this weird contract thing, which you didn't really expect Wiggins to come out and just lay it all out kind of randomly on media day. Other than that, everyone's being pretty straight up with it. I think as he understands the defense, I think we're going to see that kind of stealthiness where, you know, hopefully he just locks down his guy most of the time, but also sneaks in for a steal, sees capitalizes on a bad pass. And certainly as a scorer, it's crazy to me where he, you know, out of nowhere will just shark attack and he's, you know, at the rim. So, I don't know. I think it's, I'm, as I said, big Wiggins guy. Big fade Wiggins guy, he was so just Andrew Wiggins there, where it's just like, yeah,
way back.
I have this 150 million. Andrew, you worried about getting injured? Nah.
How would I get injured? Play basketball, Andrew.
Yeah, he's like, and Tibbs did make a big point. We'll get to him in a little bit, but Tibbs made a big point of, we got 5 of the 7 guys that played 82 games last year. It's like, whew, you are playing with fire, man. Like, you're gonna play those guys a lot of minutes. We'll see how that goes. But
he's a man of the odds.
Yeah,
I did want to get to him, and I wanted to get to Gorgie, but first I wanted to get to SeatGeek.
Of course,
because I wasn't at the event. Maybe if I'd used my SeatGeek app sooner, I would have been able to go to the media day. But you were there, and you had some great seats, and all my listeners can have great seats too if they use SeatGeek. Because buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better way, a simpler way to buy, with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And for all of my listeners, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase if you use the LOMBA promo code when you're purchasing. So use the LONBA promo code and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. It is the best way to buy and sell tickets for sporting events, concerts, and you can have it right there on your phone. It's just so easy. It doesn't make sense to go without it.
No, I'm with you. You got to be using SeatGeek this year. Just given how many people were at this media, you know, press conference, a lot of Chicago people, as you expect. And then, you know, obviously all of Minnesota showing up. Look, it's going to be hard to get in there. There's a lot of attention. There's a reason why people are writing about this team, broadcasting about this team. It's really going to be, I believe, an exciting year. We're so certainly hoping, people have their different theories, but generally speaking, I always just want to cover a relevant team, right? A team that's playing meaningful games, and I really do think that, without a doubt, assuming no one gets hurt, you never want to see players get hurt, you know, like... they're going to be relevant. I'm not calling championship or anything crazy, but like,
they will be for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Did you, you had a Gorgie Jang comment here?
I did. I saw that he had some interesting things to say about shooting threes because the coaching staff, he said that they talked to him about shooting more threes. And then he kind of was like, nah, I'm just going to do what I do best out there. Shooting threes isn't one of them. And then later he tried to walk it back and said, I'll do whatever it takes to get more 4 minutes. But was that an interesting thing on media day for Gorgie to be like, I don't think I'm really going to shoot threes. I know you want me to, but I don't think I'm really going to.
Yeah. Look, this is a little bit of kind of a circus. You know what I mean? They're taking pictures. You got Jimmy Butler, pretending to be fat. Or whatever. I don't know exactly what's going on there.
The bit with the reporter.
Yeah, who I believe is like, you know, a Bulls fan or whatever. But yeah, like a Chicago guy. It's a little bit of circus, and so it's hard to be serious. And actually, all things considered, it was as serious as it could be. I don't know. Gorgui Dieng, I think he's in an interesting spot. I don't know if he'll necessarily start. I think he's a very valuable player. We talked a lot about that. Just he's the guy that got the defense last year. I think really, really smart player. And I think if the opportunity there is there to shoot threes, he should. I don't think he's, you know, Kyle Korver, you know, or whatever. So
yeah.
I think Gorgie's a little bit in a different way, kind of like Wiggins, where, you know, Gorgie just does what he wants. You know, I mean, like, he'll play within the system, defensively, but even all the players, and when I say that, I'm talking offensively, you know, the guys said, the general sentiment is offensively, they're allowed to be creative and kind of make adjustments as the game goes on. And if you have the hot hand, I think you'll keep on getting fed, right?
Yep.
Defensively, there's going to be a lot of structure. And you know Dieng will always play in that structure and probably will be a vocal leader on the court. That's my guess. I think Towns, as he understands it, will. Certainly Gibson, certainly Butler. But I think Dieng has that role, and he did last year. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just going to depend game to game. I don't really expect him to be just jacking up shots. I think that'd be ridiculous. Like, he should be down low, grabbing boards, you know, putbacks, high percentage shots. I think that's what he should be shooting.
No massive switch like Brook Lopez of the three-point shot just spiking in 1 year seemingly almost no reason.
I think Tibbs would spontaneously combust. Like, I just think we'd be like, whoops. You know, like, we just did
it. What happened to Tibbs? Where'd he go? He just disappeared.
We did it. It's just like one weird loud sound, and you're like, yeah, he's gone. All right, it's time for Ryan Saunders. You're up. You know, I don't know. But, yeah.
No, just a suit coat on the sideline.
Just like, where'd he go? Yeah, no, I mean, I just don't think Tibbs could handle that, and I think there's a lot of fans who are just ruined by bad basketball here. Who was it? Was it Mark Mattson? Who was the guy who just started jacking up threes to, like, tank a game?
Can't ask who was the Timberwolves who just started jacking up threes, because there's, like, there's a whole team that we could field of Timberwolves who just started jacking up threes for no reason.
Yeah, definitely not the year to do that. Like, just people can't handle this. Tibbs would not be the only one, too. Like, you know, they'd announce 19,000. It's really 16,000 in the building because 3,000 people just up into thin air. But, yeah, Gorgie's a smart player. He's not going to do that. I think it's matchup-based, game-to-game, what he's feeling. I really think he actually gave a very honest answer, even kind of in a backwards way. Like, you know, he's going to do it when he feels like he should do it. I think that's what's going to happen.
All right, so tell me about Tom Thibodeau, the coach who's been giving the keys to the Ferrari that he's kind of built himself. Tell me about his thoughts. What were some of the takeaways you had from the interview with Tom?
I've joked about this, and I actually had a long conversation with Mike Gelfman, who edits our columns, who met with Colton recently. Luckily, he didn't scare you off, but
old he's time, a great guy. We talked about gambling for a good portion of time.
He is. Colton, you thought you were a degenerate. This man is the alpha degenerate. This man gambles on anything. Mike Gelfand, KQ legend, was on KQ 92 for a long, long time, which is the studios we're in. Wrote for the Minneapolis Star going way back when, and his second generation journalist, his dad, Lou, was a journalist as well. But I was talking to him about the season and how excited I am, and I really get excited about the personalities, and Tom Thibodeau definitely is one of them. I think Layden's funny. I think he was asked and answered one question. I'm not joking. I have it in the article where he can walk through swaths of fans, and they have no idea who he is. They probably just assume he's like some accountant that, you know, like is watching the game and has a little extra access. Tibbs, the analogy I used when I was talking to Mike was that Tibbs is a crazy person that will build a sports car. I think I probably used it on this show, build a sports car and then just drive it through walls and like through the garage. And like, you're like, dude, take care of this thing, man. You know, you don't have to always depress the pedal down all the way. There are other ways to drive this car. But you know, I think he's building something great here. He's certainly, these guys have good work ethics. They eat well. I didn't see any Capri Sun lying around. And you know,
thank God. Jamal Crawford has a problem.
He's like, Jamal, you gotta stop. But
four boxes.
He's creating a system where he can really, you know, he's expected to run these guys pretty tough. And he's setting that tempo right away. I mean, it really is. He's setting that tempo where these guys are going to practice hard. They're going to focus on defense. He knows what it takes to win. But he's the same guy when you just talk to him, whether it's on or off the record, certainly at times like this. You know, he'll occasionally pound the table, and he will emphasize words and kind of put strength behind him, but he doesn't get kind of ranty. Very different than his on-court personality, of course. But yeah, kind of the same guy. He's like, look, offense is good. Defense needs to improve. We're going to set the tone right away. And just kind of the line I liked is he's just like, you have to have a great dislike for losing. And this is what you find with super competitive people. They like to win, but they cannot stand to lose. And that's the kind of people I think Tibbs is trying to put on this team, and it's certainly the kind of person he is.
Do you think that Timberwolves fans should kind of breathe a sigh of relief that they're going to camp with 17 players, just because maybe now with the depth that he's been looking for all offseason, he won't run those guys like Wiggins, like Towns, like Butler into the ground with minutes just because of that depth that they have?
I'm hoping he has guys he really trusts. Like the Bielitsa, he seems pretty happy with. You know, I don't know if Gibson's depth or starter, but you know, you're adding him to the mix. Crawford certainly you think has a role. Shabazz should have a role. Aaron Brooks and Tyus Jones, run the point. I'm hoping he has more guys he can trust. In terms of the camp bodies, I do love that most of those guys came in and they're like, yeah, I'm here to have a great personality, commit to defense, and just work really hard. And people pointed this out on Twitter. I think this was very astute. I saw this on a few accounts. For a guy that's not really a player's coach, I do think he sticks up for his guys, and I think he's pretty honest with them. But a guy who is not your typical player's coach, people love him. You know what I mean? It's a certain kind of person. But that's really a tribute to him. And, I don't know. It is funny that a guy like this really could mix it up with just diehard basketball people, right? People that just love the sport. And yet, at the same time, he's so crazy that, like, I don't know how you would never want to cut him off with your car or something like that. You know, like, he's straight nuts. Yeah, I'm assuming he is a driver. I really hope for humanity's sake, like he does. But, you know, he's kind of that old school nutso basketball coach when he's on there. But yeah, it's something I like to emphasize because he really does, you know. He's a smart dude. He understands basketball, and he's a normal dude when he's not on the court. I feel bad for every ref in the league, and certainly it's a certain kind of player, and I think it probably attracts the right kind of players that just can handle this, right?
Well, you do have to give him that. He was seems like he was very careful when he's going through and selecting which guys he's putting on his roster. He's not just getting guys who are going to be really good, and then they have an attitude. It's not like he's building the Rockets of, what was it, 2015, where it was just a bunch of egos and none of them really mixed together and none of them really agreed with the coach. He's building a roster that's going to work together with him and then going to work together as players on the same court. So he's doing a good job of really being selective about who he takes on his team.
No, completely. I want to point out a couple quick things, and then I'll let you... You're the host of the show. I don't know what I'm doing right now, but
I was just going to say, any other quick takes from media day?
Yeah, quick stuff. I really did like, you know, Kat generally says the right thing. Again, really personable. A guy who I swear will be like a late night host or someone when he's done. He said, I made a promise to Flip Saunders that we would win and end the playoff drought, and I intend to keep that promise. I believe there's a strong implication that that's this year. That's the expectation for this team. I think it's cool that he brought his name up again, because in some ways we discussed this right when Tibbs, you know, when he was hired and was doing all his press conferences and stuff, it came up where it's like Tibbs is here to finish what Flip started. I did like that tie back, and I really do think that he I do appreciate that, I guess, as someone who covered Flip Saunders and then obviously watched his team as a young man, as a young basketball fan growing up, that he brought his name up and said that. And Jimmy Butler's like Tibbs. I mean, he's just like a, you know, if you said they were related, I'd be like, okay. You know, they're just very much the same mindset. And it is just funny that he, you know, again, crazy person. Like, he was described as a serial killer in that Vice profile, right? And like how meticulous he is and getting up at the same time and whatnot. But, you know, when he's out here, he's affable, he's likable. I just think, you know, more and more I see this as someone who just watched the Bulls from afar and didn't cover him as a media guy. Totally get what's going on there. Final thing, and then I'll let you wrap this up. I did think it was interesting that Teague just addressed the Rubio thing right away, and I understand you're a Rubio hater, just like Gelfand. I don't know if you address as Gelfand, chief Rubio hater, but like,
oh, I'm in the club.
Could not stand him. I know how you guys got along. It's gambling and anti-Rubio stuff, but you know, I have said before I was a Rubio guy. He just admitted, he's like, you know, he was a fan favorite. I hear it every time. No, and he gets like, no, seriously, I really do. I like that he just got that out of the way. Really interesting, kind of weird fact. Crawford and Brooks both have the same first name. That's Aaron, so it's Aaron Jamal Crawford. And middle name, so, you know, obviously Aaron Jamal Brooks.
And they share a cousin, don't they?
Yeah, and then Jamal's oldest son's mom is Brooks' first cousin. So I'm trying to think of what that really means, but oldest son's mom is Brooks' first cousin. So
the bond on the court is just out of this world.
Yeah, it's
interesting. I'm assuming.
No, and honestly, both of them were like, yeah, it's cool. Especially Jamal Crawford was like, yeah, you know, it's cool to finally play with him, but must have known each other. And then I have a killer tweet. This is from Andy Grimsrud. At the end of my article here on Zone Coverage, I it's hard to describe over there, but definitely check it out. So I have all this stuff posted. Just it was my immediate reaction. You know, we're gonna transcribe a couple things here and there, and then you know, kind of write stories on this. Colton, you said you're gonna come out with something tomorrow-ish.
Yep, we'll have stuff out tomorrow, and like Tom said, right now there's a ton of stuff already up on Zone Coverage to check out.
Yeah, no. So we, Timmy Fakeless working on a story for Monday. I'll kind of come back and see if there's another angle, but we will do Wolves Wired tomorrow. You can tune into that or download it, I guess. That'll be Naylor, Tim, and then I believe we're trying to get Kyle Radke on there. I know we're trying to get him on there. He's works for the Timberwolves. We understand he's, you know, he's a team guy. I told him he needs to come up with a couple big hot takes and put his job at risk, but no, great.
I love
dude.
It.
He'll be right. He'll be out at out in San Diego. We'll be doing Lockdown pretty regularly from now on. I do a big compliment from Alan Horton. He said, you know, he was the first guy, the godfather of Lockdown Wolves. He gave a compliment. Young Colt Molesky, up and comer, and I'm the old guy. I'm the old bat. I'm Aaron Brooks coming in here. You know, I had a couple tough years, but I'm here. I'm radiant. I'm shining. I'm ready to back up Jeff Teague. I do like this team, both in terms of how it's constructed, although still we'll look at kind of the wings and Colton, you mentioned in the last show, just kind of the weakness maybe against bigger teams, which will be interesting playing Denver and kind of seeing how they match up there. But generally, I like how it's constructed, and they just seem like pretty good dudes. Nothing like Andrew Wiggins just being like, yeah, I'll sign a $150 million contract when I want to. Colton, you have any final thoughts?
I am ready for the season to start. Let's go. Only a few short weeks away. Let's get this Timberwolves season underway, see what we have on our hands here. This has been Tom Sire and Colt Molesky bringing you another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.